I'm going to have a prayer, but I'm going to do a little bit different this morning. Many of y'all have probably heard this prayer, but it's so good that in case some of you didn't, even if just one person here did not hear this prayer that was made by a man by the name of Joe Wright, he was the chaplain and asked to do the prayer to the House of Representatives in the Kansas state. And he did such a marvelous job of it, and in this time here we have, I know many of you got email, probably got this, I got it, but it's so good, it bears repeating. So for our prayer this morning, instead of me praying, I'm going to read this prayer, and we're going to use that as our opening, okay? In case any of you didn't hear it, listen to it. It's absolutely marvelous. God put it on his heart, no doubt. Here's the prayer that he read before the Kansas legislature as he opened up their session. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness, to seek your direction and guidance. We know that you're what your word says. Woe to those who call evil good, but that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values, and we confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide us and bless these men and women who have been sent to direct us to the center of your will. I ask this in the name of your Son and living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't think you could put it any better. Our nation needs that. We all need it. Let's remember that every day. Let that be our opening prayer. Everybody turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. I've been getting some very good reports from people about our studying the book of Genesis that are not in here, from outside people that are listening to this. They say they're just getting an enormous amount of information they didn't know that these little stories had in them, that they had read many times but had never realized this. So, chapter 27. I call chapter 27, I have a title for it, it's Strife in the Family. Boy, this tells a story so many people have had in their families. It tells a story, but this is so important. This story is because it's in God's lineage. And it came to pass. I love that verse. It opens many, many chapters in the Old Testament. That lady called me the other day. I was talking to her this week about a terrible situation she's got. And she was telling about it, and I said, well, there's a passage in Scripture that I want to tell you about. She said, what is it? I said, and it came to pass. She said, I've never heard of that. I said, it's all through the Old Testament. So when you're in great trials and tribulations, and we all go through them, part of life, it came to pass. It came to pass that when Isaac was old, he's gotten old now, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold now, I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now, here, Isaac is old, he's infirm, he can't even see, he's sitting in his tent. And what does he do? He's already chosen one son over another. He's chosen Esau over his brother Jacob. There's a division in this household, has been for years, ever since the children were born. Rebekah takes care of Jacob. He's, as I told you, he's kind of a sissy kid. He stays around the tent. He does the menial things around there. Esau, he's a great hunter. He gets out, and he's a man's man. And Isaac just loves him because he's a real man's man. But Isaac here has evidently forgotten what God had told him, that the elder is going to serve the younger. Now, he's getting ready to give him the birthright blessing from the head of the family, which God did not intend for him to have. But Isaac's getting old and infirm. Who knows what his thoughts really were, ignoring what God had already said. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Mama's looking out for the one that's her favorite. Dad's got a favorite. Mom's got a favorite. There's a division had been since they were born. So Mama's taking care of the one she is favored with, and that's Jacob. She overhears the conversation. You ladies, I know through the years, have been good about overhearing conversations and paying attention to what's going on in the household. Maybe sometimes when you shouldn't, but probably it was good that you did. And by the way, happy Father's Day to all you dads. I can't express what a wonderful feeling it was, but there never was a man born on the face of the earth that was not any more ready to be a dad than I was when that boy was born. I didn't have a clue what it was about, but I did find out over through the years. Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now this blessing from the patriotic father had great meaning. That son, whoever the firstborn was, which Esau was, but God said he's not going to be the ruler of that clan. Jacob would be. But what it meant was you had two sons in this family. The blessing would be given to the oldest one, and at the death of Isaac, they would divide the entire estate into three portions. And Esau would be given two of them, as well as the leadership of the whole clan. Now remember, Isaac has become very wealthy and very powerful, so this was a big deal. And then Jacob would just receive one third of the portion. That's how it would be divided. If there were five men, if there were five sons, it would be divided six ways, the eldest getting 2/6 or one third. That's the way it was divided in these times. I'm going to bless you before my death, is what Rebekah is telling Jacob. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I commanded. Hey, I'm giving you some instructions. Now he's up in probably 50, 60 years old now. But she says, I'm going to give you some orders, and I want you to adhere to them. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, which such as he loved. Evidently, he had a special meal that he really did like, made from venison, and he really liked it. Now, she's going to trick him using goat meat. Any of y'all ever eat goat meat? How many of you eat goat meat? Yeah. Well, to me, it doesn't taste like venison, but maybe some of you great cooks could fix it and make it taste like venison. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Jacob said unto Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Totally different children. They're twins, but they are so totally different. My father, peradventure, or perhaps, will feel me, and then I shall sing to him as a deceiver, and I will bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Hey, Mom, if I get caught doing this, he's going to curse me. And that was just the opposite. If you got cursed by your father, the head patriarch of the clan, then you were an outcast. I mean, you lost everything. He said, we can't. Mom, this is a serious situation. His mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse. My son, only obey my voice and go fetch me then. She said, listen, if any cursing going to be done, it could be upon me. You shall do what I say. He went and fetched and brought them to his mother. His mother made the savory meat such as his father loveth. And Rebekah took goodly raiment. This means she went and got a hold of Esau's best clothes. She had access to them. He's out in the field hunting. So she goes and gets his best clothes, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his head. This guy must have really been hairy. I mean, can you imagine? He had an external hairiness that would match a goat's. Now, that's got to really be quite incredible. Anyway, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, upon the smooth of his neck. I mean, he must have been hairy all over. I always wanted to have a lot of hair. I thought that made you look like a man. And I am God in you. When I got 60 years old, I finally grew about 4 gray hairs on my chest. And I really thought I was doing good. Bonnie says you can't grow anymore. I don't like hairy men. Anyway, I got shorted in that department. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Now, and he came unto his father. Here's the deception. He came unto his father and said, my father, he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may be blessed. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Hey, you sure did get that hunting over with real quick out here. And he said, well, because the Lord my God brought it to him. Well, what a lie. Man, the Lord just brought that deer to me just so quick. Look at the lies and the deception that's going on in this family. Now, a lot of y'all probably know families that are just like this, that this just goes on in there. Well, it goes on in this family that God had picked for a special purpose. They're still human. They still do the same things as human beings do. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. He had suspicions already. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. So he gave him the family blessing. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Lied again. Boy, Jacob really has a way of lying and lying and lying. More lies beget more lies. That's just the way it goes. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, and that my soul may bless thee. He brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. You know, that's, a lot of sons don't kiss their dads anymore. That's one thing in our family. I guess it's kind of a tradition in our home. My oldest sons still hug and kiss their mom and dad. And that boy right there, he's 44 years old. When he sees me, he'll give me a big hug and a kiss, just to know. He's a 44-year-old man, but I like it. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. That fooled him again. Mama knew what she was doing. And blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth. And here's the blessing. And plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee. Now, when he says this, he means all of the people that are under my jurisdiction are to serve you. This is the blessing he's given. And nations bow down to thee. He remembers the promise that God has given him. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curses thee. Again, he carries on the promise of blessings and cursings that God gave way back to Abraham. Again, this goes on through the lineage of the Jewish people. And that goes and is still true to this day. If you bless Israel, God will bless you. You curse Israel or chastise Israel, you're going to get the same from him. America, beware, be careful. Everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, now he's finished, and Jacob leaves. As soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing of blessing Jacob, Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother Kenyan, from his hunting. He had just got out just in time before Esau comes in from his trip. And he also had made savory meat, brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who are you? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. No doubt, when he made that statement, Isaac realized what he had done at that point, and he realized the promise that God had made through the lineage of his children, but one special child, and what he had done, it hit him at this point, and he trembled exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it thee? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. He said, I've already given my blessing. Whoever it was before you, I've already given it to him. And he's going to be blessed because I gave it to him.
They can't undo it?
Nope. It was a one-time thing. And Rebecca knew all that when she did it. Yep. And when Esau heard the words of his fathers, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. The actual Hebrew says he just screamed out in anger at what had been done, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came in with subtlety, or he tricked me, and hath taken away thy blessing. Now Isaac knows what has happened. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? Boy, y'all named him right, heel snatcher. That's what the word Jacob means. Heel snatcher. Coming out, he was already grabbing at my heel. He was after me already when I was being born. And here he is, probably 50 years later, he's still doing the same thing. Y'all named him right. For he has supplanted me these two times. Remember when he gave up his birthright for a bowl of soup? He took away my birthright when he was starving. Because, you know, Esau didn't care anything about that. He was a wild man. He was a man of the field. He didn't care about that stuff. So he gave up his birthright, which he didn't have to give, start with. But evidently, everybody knew about it in the compound after the story was told, no doubt, later, years later. So he took away my birthright, and behold, now he had taken away my blessing. Hey, he's gotten the ultimate thing by deception away from me again. Man, look what a character he is. Isn't it amazing the people that God uses? I mean, if you look back in your life at the things you did or how you were years ago, I look back at my life and see how I was and why God ever used me to do what I'm doing. I absolutely am totally amazed. And you're talking about a change. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing? Well, Father, since you gave him the parental blessing, which is the main blessing, don't you have anything at all left for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord. Hey, he's going to be your boss. If you like it or not, it's a done deal. And all his brethren have I given to him for service. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? He said, I'm sorry, Esau. I've already given him the parental blessing. He's going to be the head of the clan. All these people that are under me, my servants and everybody here, is going to be under his jurisdiction. I'm sorry, you got left out. And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, Me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. The reality of his lifestyle and him not caring one thing about spiritual matters or anything finally has hit home. He now realizes what all of this life, this worldly life that he went through, that he cared all about, has now vanished out of his hands. And he's lost it all. Now this is an example for us Christians. You know, in our life, what do we strive for? What are our priorities in life? You strive and you work and for all of these things of the world. And guess what? They're gone. Look at all those people that old guy Madoff, that he took billions of. I mean, some of those people were millionaires. And one day, they're washing dishes trying to make a living. He gave it all up just that quick because of greed. That's what caused most of that, if you want to know the truth of it. Anyway, that's what happened. Anybody have any questions? So take heed as to what kind of treasure you're trying to build up on this earth. All right? And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, now what Isaac is getting ready to tell him really is not a blessing. It's really a prophecy to Esau. It's what he's really uttering here. God is now entered and is controlling what he is saying. He said, okay, Esau, here's what I've got to say to you. Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. You're going to be a wild man out here living in the fields and woods. You're not going to be a what we would call a civilized person. You're going to be out here a wild man. Remember, he's married two Canaanite ladies. You know, he's already got that going for him. Excuse me. And by thy sword shalt thou live. You're going to live by the strength of your arm, by the sword, by your bow and arrow. Your hand is going to be against every man out here in the field that you lead. And shall serve thy brother. Notice that. Hey, you're still going to be under the jurisdiction of your brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. But Esau, there's coming a time in history, and your descendants will come to a point to where they will break off this yoke of Jacob's descendants and rulership over them. I'll tell you where that happened. That happened in 2 Chronicles 21, verse 8. I won't turn there right now for the sake of time. But that's where it happened. King David was king, and the Edomites, which Esau's descendants came into being, which is on the west side of Israel. The Edomites were a group always warfaring with Israel. And at one time, when King David had the rulership over them, they rose up in rebellion and cast off the rulership of Israel over them. That's when this prophecy was actually fulfilled. But later on, God also prophesied that the Edomites would be wiped out. There are no more Edomites. They're gone. They're part of history. Anybody have any questions? You can find that, by the way, in 2 Chronicles, if you'd like to look there. Now, we get into a situation here which happens a lot in families. You hear it today. Maybe it's happened in your families where an estate's divided up. And people get mad over what portion they got or didn't get, and on and on and on. It's pitiful what people do about that. Look at verse 41. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then I will slay my brother Jacob. He laid a plan. I'm going to get even with him. My dad's old. He's going to die here pretty soon. And just as soon as he dies, I'm going to kill Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told. But Rebekah hears everything. There must have been a hair salon or something around there. You ladies know exactly what I'm talking about. If you want all the latest news, go to the hair shop, right? Okay. We're told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Esau's going around every day. The only comfort he gets is plotting to kill you as soon as your dad dies. That's the main thing he's dwelling on right now. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days till thy brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? She said, listen, if he kills you, they'll kill him. Then I'm going to lose both of them the same day. So why don't you go to Uncle Laban and stay there with him a few days. That few days lasted 20 years. Now, Jacob takes off and goes to Uncle Laban's house. We know the story. We'll get into that a little bit further on. But let me say this. He never saw his mother ever again. She dies while he's at Uncle Laban's. So he never sees her again, and she never sees her son that she loves so much, and using all this deception. Now, God used this to fulfill his will. But these people did not have to cook up this scheme to fulfill God's will the way he would have taken care of it. We don't know how. They didn't give him a chance. They cooked up their own scheme, and in doing so, created all this hatred and animosity. She lost the thing she loved the most, was her son. He goes away and she never sees him again, dies, never getting to see him again, or say hi to him ever again. And here's the excuse she uses. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life because the daughters of Heath, that's the daughters that Esau had married. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heath, such as they were of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And then why have I even lived? If my other son, the one whom I really love, goes and takes pagan wives, my life has been absolutely worthless. That's what she's telling him. So Isaac gives permission for him to go to Uncle Laban. Now Jacob is a real con artist and all of that, but when he goes to Uncle Laban, he's entering into a man's environment there who is the tops of the con artist, and he's going to learn some real worldly experiences the hard way. He's going to get conned like he's been conning. So that comes a little bit in the future. Anybody have any questions or comments? I know you've heard these stories many times, but we need to take the lessons from them if we don't do anything. Take the lessons and apply them in our lives. See the failures that these people made, even though they were God's people, and how God worked it out in spite of what they did. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these lessons that you've put down in this Old Testament of true people, their true lives, and true failures, that we can use them to enlighten ourselves and guard against doing these things, Lord, in our lives as they did. Thank you for the many blessings. Be with everybody this week. Lead, guide, and direct them, Lord, in all that they do. And all of us as we serve you. In your holy and precious name, I ask these things. Amen.